And good morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are back for another wonderful episode of Rise Up. So grateful that everybody can rise up in the morning. Look at that beautiful scene behind me. Look at that sun rise. Now, this morning, as I was coming into the studio here in the heartland of America, the Hawkeye State of Iowa, as typical with a morning sunrise in the Midwest, the sky was pink and purple and blue. The sun looked like the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And get this. As I was coming to the studio, I realized that I'd forgotten the key to the studio at home. And I was like, oh, here we go. A Monday. The morning Monday blues, right? Figured that would happen. I was late anyways, you know, trying to wake up with the new time, the time change and all that. And so I turned around and I went back home and I was a little frustrated. I'm like, oh, I don't want to start off the week like this. Lord, please don't let me start off the week on a negative note. And as I pulled back onto the road where we live, there was a beautiful, and it wasn't even, I think it had just rained before I left for work. But there was a massive, beautiful rainbow arching right over my house. And as I pulled back into, or pulled off the main road onto the road that we live on, and I could see our house, the rainbow was literally arching right over our house, right down the other side. And those morning, Monday, new time zone blues went right out the window, and I immediately smiled from ear to ear, looked up at God, and said, thank you so much for that. There's nothing else on this planet that could have gotten me from, ugh, why am I experiencing these Monday morning blues? I usually love Monday. To, wow, I'm so joyful. Today is Monday. Nothing could have done that outside of that. Here's the even crazier part. All I did was open the garage door, go into the house, grab my key, leave. And as I walked out of the garage door, the rainbow was gone. I closed the garage, got in the truck, left the house. and looked back both in my rear view mirror and physically turning my head. I know we don't do that a lot of day nowadays with the backup cameras, but turned my head, the rainbow was gone. So here my spirit is under the belief system that God gave that specifically for me. Now, I know that's a little bit selfish, and God didn't give a rainbow for Jeremy Harrell in the middle of Iowa, but I believe my spirit believes that's exactly what happened. So if my spirit feels that that's exactly what happened, then I will feel that that's exactly what happened. And it was literally, it was there, and less than 2 minutes, literally less than 2 minutes, it was gone. Corn Pop said, time change? Yeah, it's an hour ahead where I was all week last week in New Hampshire. So it was a little, you know, it's been a little bit of an adjustment, as always. Somebody said, when is your birthday? My birthday is the 16th. So 4 days. 4 days. It is good to see all of you guys here. So if you guys could please do me a favor, smash that Rumble button like your salvation depended on it, even though it doesn't. Okay? Make sure you're signed in order to do that. Share out the gospel. Let's get our family in here. And I just wanted to share that story with you this morning before we went to prayer. Because what a beautiful, beautiful message that was from God, my Father in heaven, to me this morning. Katie says, it reminds me of the time I was very nervous going into an appointment, saw a piece of a rainbow, and knew I'd be okay, and it was. Maybe they are God's little messages for each and every one of us. No, Eva Braun says, you sometimes have to be in a pretty specific place in order to see a rainbow, though. Maybe it wasn't just for you, but it kind of was. That's what I'm saying. Maybe the rainbow wasn't just for me, but maybe God's placement of me seeing the rainbow, that was God's message. Because let's think about it. Let's face it. Had I not forgotten my key, I never would have turned around to go back to the house, which means I never would have saw the rainbow. Corn Pop says, Jeremy and I have the same birthday. Oh, August 16th, where my Leo's at, right? Beautiful. A lot of people are asking me, did you get your presents yet? I have an entire box of stuff full of mail, full of letters, full of presents. I opened some of them in New Hampshire, but I brought all of them with me to sit down today after my shows and go through them piece by piece and get back to those who sent me gifts. So I will have a full list of that tomorrow. Your birthday is 1 month after mine, says Jeff. And I want to also give a big shout out to those who I received a lot of check donations. And by the way, anytime the mailing address will never change. It's still the New Hampshire mailing address. We just get everything that's pertinent to us overnighted back to us from Eli over there. But I want to give a big thanks to those who sent presents, who sent cards for my birthday, who sent donations. Rockin' Rev Dean, God bless you. Thank you so much. Let's get to the verse of the day today. I mean the prayer, and then we'll get into the verse of the day and the rest of the show, okay? Lord, Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for Monday. Thank you for Monday morning. Thank you for messages that you give us if we are looking for them. And I believe a lot of people that, Lord, don't hear you or feel you, feel your presence, boils down to they're not looking for you. And you promise that if we seek you, you'll be easy to find. You'll be right there for us. This morning's message of a rainbow warmed my heart, Lord, and I just want to take this time with my brothers and sisters on Rise Up to just give you all glory for that. Something I desperately needed to start my week off, and you never disappoint. And since you never disappoint, Father, I don't relish in disappointing you. I don't enjoy disappointing you. Please forgive my inadequacies. Please forgive my sins. Please forgive the things that cause disappointment to you. Please forgive me for running back to slavery. And thank you so much for allowing me to come back to you when I do. Lord, today's message, you know, is a very powerful message. One of sacrifice, one of salvation, one of mercy, one of gratitude, one of disappointment. Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit is present with us today to guide us through this message. And we pray for your will to be done here on earth, not our own, as we become ambassadors of your word to the world. We thank you for today. We thank you for the rainbow. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful prayer this morning. CQ said, "Thank you, Lord, for making Monday better for Jeremy, revealing your promises in that rainbow." Well, that's what it is. It is renewing your spirit and your soul as a reminder of his promises that he never breaks. Do you know the one promise that is true here on earth? Does anybody know? There is one promise outside of God's promises to us that is very true, very relevant, very real in today's world. Does anybody know what it is? I'll help you out here. The one promise that is real and remains true on earth that is not of heaven is that promises will always be broken. That's the one promise that is definitely true. If you are living in this world, loving this world, living of this world, it's that promises will always be broken. Always, 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 always. There's only one promise that is ever, ever infinitely true, and that is the promise of God. He can never lie. He's not a, what do we call it when we were kids? An Indian giver? Probably not appropriate today, politically correct. But God is not that. So the one promise that's real on earth is that promises will always be broken. And the one thing that rings true, no matter what, infinitely, that will never be finite, is that God's promises will never be broken, period. There's no wiggle room. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no but, what if? Nope. Nope. There isn't. And we know this. I want to read to you the description of today's show. And that's this. Rise Up, episode number 407. Imagine if you heard a story of a slave who was set free by being bought and paid for by someone who thought slavery was an abomination. That happened during the Civil War, before and after, here in America. There were, you know, half the country that thought slavery was an abomination, another half of the country that thought it wasn't. And many, 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 many times, people from the North who thought slavery an abomination would buy slaves from the South and then set them free. Where do we see this in the Bible? Well, a very, very famous story of a man who parted a sea with the help of God, Moses. He set millions of slaves free. Literally brought them out of the land of slavery, bought and paid for by the commandments and promises of God, Yahweh, the father of Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, David, Jesus. Imagine all of that. What a wonderful sight. Walking out of Egypt with millions of former slaves. Or let's talk about right here in America, where people were buying slaves left and right, not to keep them as slaves, but to set them free. No longer will you be subject to another person's orders. You are a free man under God. I want to say good morning to my sister, Crystal, who's here. Good morning, sis. Thank you very much. Now, let's go back to the description. Imagine if you heard a story of a slave who was freed by being bought and paid for by someone who thought slavery an abomination, and after being bought, he ran back to the slave plantation in order to feel some familiarity. Now, anybody who's ever done an extended period of time in prison knows that there's a thing called institutionalized. Now, if you don't know what institutionalized means, it means that you have become so ingrained and comfortable in the situation that you're in, being locked up, being away from the rest of society, that you don't even want to leave. Now, I am going to tell you a very real and very graphic story about something that I witnessed, something that I had nightmares of for years until Christ relieved me of these thoughts. Now, I've never told this story to all of you, but I've told it many times to my friends and my family. Okay? Again, I want you to, while I'm saying this story, I want you to think of the people who bought slaves and set them free. I want you to think of Moses, who freed millions of people from the slavery of Egypt to lead them back to the promised land. I want you to think of those people groaning and moaning and wanting to go back to the slave plantation. Look at the Israelites. When Moses led them out of the land of slavery, they yearned to go back. They groaned and moaned and grumbled. Not rumbled, grumbled about going to the promised land. They wanted to go back to the land of slavery. Why? They'd been there for 400 years. I would say that they're pretty institutionalized. Slaves that were bought and paid for here in America, set free by landowners and prominent people of the North, ran back to the South to live on the slave plantation and be slaves again. Anybody ever watched any military movies where people leave service in war and they don't feel right? So they want to go back to war? Look at the movie The Hurt Locker. I think Jeremy Renner was the star of that movie. And he was a bomb detonation explosive expert in the war. And when he went back home, after all the time that he had deployed, he was in the grocery store, in the aisles, literally feeling lost and not knowing what to do. And the end of the movie, he goes back to war. Look at a woman who's in an abusive relationship. And they get beat or they get mistreated over time. Or their significant other is just a waste of space who does not value the sanctity of marriage. So he treats his wife with disrespect, calls her names, abuses her verbally, physically. And you always see them either running back to that or never leaving it to begin with, even though they are given ample opportunity. Why? Why would somebody do this? Now, I'm going to tell you a very personal story of mine. It's going to be graphic. I'm very sorry for those who don't feel like this is a story that should be on Rise Up. I feel that it is. When I was in prison, in Menard Correctional Facility, which I've told you all before, and I'm sure you've Googled it, I've shown it to you on air. I will never forget this one day. Now, because I had left a work release center a year and a half prior to this moment, they had to give me a green ID, which meant an escape risk. And if you're an escape risk in the state of Illinois, you have to do your time in a maximum facility prison. Murderers, rapists, serial killers, the whole nine. All because I decided I didn't want to be at a work release center and walked away and never came back. That will set the tone of this, why I was where I was. I didn't belong where I was, but maybe I did. Maybe I did. And I remember we were in solitary confinement. I had been given 12 months of solitary confinement for escaping from a work release center. 12 months in solitary confinement. We called it segregation. And while I was in there, you were allowed to go out one day a week on Tuesdays for 5 hours. Not 1 hour a day, not 1 hour a day for the weekdays, one day for 5 hours. Whether it was snowing, raining, sleeting, hailing, tornadoing, if you did not go out, if you choose not to go out, well then, you have to wait till next Tuesday. And on that same day, and yeah, Vitamist, maybe I have told this story before, but again, it's relevant to now, so I apologize if you heard it before, but if you chose to go out or whether you didn't choose to go out, at the end of the day was showers for everybody in SEG. One day a week. You get it one shower a week. If you miss it, you're done. Well, in the shower, they would give you a razor to shave with one blade in it. Well, this guy was getting ready to leave after like 30 years in prison and didn't want to leave. Did not want to leave the slave system in which he was found, in which he'd lived in for the last 30 years. He had nobody outside. He had no family. They'd all been dead and gone. He had no kids when he was out there. He had nobody. He had nothing. Everything that he's known has been in that prison. So when they told him your out date is next week, he tried to do anything he could to get his sentence extended. right? And when that didn't work, he committed suicide. And I heard it. It was a few cells down from me, and I heard the blood-curdling screams that I will never forget. And it's not like a normal scream. It's a scream of your soul and spirit in agony, screaming and crying for help. How did he kill himself? He broke the razor, the Bic razor, took out the blade, and for whatever reason, I do not know why he did it this way. Maybe he'd done some reading up on it. Maybe he knew that it would kill him quicker. I don't know. But he cut off his scrotum, his testicles, and bled out, and was dead from the moment that they got him out of the cell to the moment that they walked, wheeled him by my cell. He was dead. And they had covered him up with a white sheet that was full of blood. I'll never forget it. At that moment, I said, what am I doing in here? What am I doing with my life? But more importantly, what am I doing in this prison right here? You know what I mean? I was just a stupid kid who made some bad decisions. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't rob anybody. Not with gunpoint or anything like that, I mean. Broke into some homes when I was younger, but definitely didn't do a crime that, you know, I thought constituted me being there. So I saw that. So you lump, and why? All because he didn't want to leave his slavery. He didn't want to leave what he was familiar with, what he was comfortable with. So now I want to bring all of those stories back full circle to, we are bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Just like that song says, if you believe in Christ, if you believe he was the Son of Man, if you believe he was the Son of God, if you believe he died on a cross for us, if you believe he rose on the third day, which there is far more proof and evidence of than most people in history and what they've done, if you believe this, then how could you ever, ever run back to the slavery of sin for an extended period of time or want to live in it? Now, I understand that we mess up once in a while. I understand that we disappoint God often, but we come back to him. Daily, we ask Jesus to take our cross for us. So for you to go back to live a life of slavery and sin after Jesus did what he did to buy you, bought and paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, what a waste. What a waste. Just like, what if all of those Israelites turned around after wandering just a year and said, Moses, you are out of your mind. I don't care how many magic tricks you do. We're going back to where we were born, raised, had children. We're going back to familiarity. Imagine if all of the Israelites, the millions, went running back to Egypt and told Moses, no thanks. Imagine that. Like all those slaves who were bought and paid for and freed by Northerners would run back to the South, to the slave plantations, because it was too much for them to be in the real world with full access to freedom. Well, it's very similar to somebody who's been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, and they run back to slavery of sin because that's where they feel comfortable. It's all they know. And the thought of giving that much freedom to them, where they would have to then read, get jobs, be landowners, be productive members of society, they'd never done that. So to them, the thought of having all that freedom absolutely outweighed their desire to be free. So they ran back to the slave plantation. What a waste of a life. What a waste of money. Now let's talk about being freed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It might be too much for some people to handle. It might be too much for somebody to think, wait a minute. Me, the screw up, the loser, the person who's ruined everything they've ever touched, the person that nobody loves and likes, the person that's alone and anxiety-filled and depressed, me, God loves me. God loves little old me, living in a home with an abusive husband, with no career, no life, attributing and contributing nothing to absolute, to actual society outside of the pleasure of my husband and what he wants. The thought of having a life where they don't have to do that anymore is scary to them. Because they find comfort and familiarity in their sin, in their slavery. And so when somebody gives their life to Christ, it is overwhelming at some point. It is absolutely overwhelming that you matter as much as you do when you spent your whole life thinking you didn't. It is absolutely overwhelming to you that God has a plan for you. God's will for you is far different than the life you've been living and the choices you've been making. And you got to think to yourself, okay, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again, the same way, expecting a different result. Now put your life under a microscope. Does that sound like you? You don't have to admit it in the comment section. It'd be great if you did, but if you don't, does that sound like you? Admit it to yourself. Look in the mirror. Does it sound like you? And if it does sound like you, then what are you waiting for? Don't be afraid. God's will for you is something so special. I know you don't feel special. I know you don't feel like you're capable. I know you feel like you don't know enough in the word yet. I know you don't feel confident in your ability to just step out on faith, blindfold yourself, and walk by faith, not by sight. I know. There's nobody in the world who pushed back on it more than me. But I can promise you that every time I slip up and go back to sin and run back to sin, I immediately feel the way I used to feel every day. And it hurts and it scares me. Why? Because I have allowed myself to follow God and see the other side. And in this case, the grass is greener on the other side. This is the only case where the grass is greener on the other side, period. And here's another thing. I was going to save this for a whole nother show, but I believe that it needs to be said now. The world focuses on the amount of mental health issues that there are out there. It's a false diagnosis. It's a false diagnosis. Now, are there people with mental health issues? Of course there are. But guess what? There's infinitely more people with spiritual health issues than there are mental health issues. And if you got to the root of the problem and you worked on and focused on your spiritual health, guess what by default would come with that? Mental health. And I am so sick and tired of people focusing on mental health, mental health, mental health, mental health. And you've never heard them once say spiritual health. Why? Why? That's where the problem is. That is where the problem lies. Mental health is a direct result of not having the Holy Spirit inside you. Because God and Jesus can take away anything, including death. Ask the next person who says the word mental health, ask them about spiritual health. If they say, oh, that person's suffering from mental health, ask them, well, Have we tried to look deeper and see if they're suffering spiritually? Because if they're not suffering spiritually, then there should be no reason they're suffering mentally. And we've got to make that connection. Spiritual health is far more important than mental health. Mental health is of the earth. Spiritual health is of God. And if we are to be creatures of God and not creatures of this world, then we do not need to be focusing on our mental health as much as we need to be focusing on our spiritual health. Because once you get spiritually right, everything starts clicking. This starts getting better. That starts getting better. Your perception starts getting better. Reality starts getting better. Everything starts getting better. You start understanding everything in a way that you've never done before. So I don't want to hear about mental health if we're not also talking about spiritual health. And in the world, they will not talk about that because the world believes that there's no God. The world believes that the Spirit doesn't exist. The world believes that there's no Holy Spirit. The world believes that there's no person guiding you. The world believes that there's no bearded man in the sky that's pulling the strings. Yet they can't prove anything else. I want to go to the verse of the day today before I start getting too far into this. I see we already need more time in this show because, dang, we are flying through today. Let me pull up the verse of the day today. The verse of the day today is going to be 1 Corinthians, if you want to open your Bibles, 7:23. But I'm actually going to read the entire, all the verses leading up to 23 so that we can make 23 make sense. So 1 Corinthians 7:23. Again, while you're opening your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 7:23. And I'll pull it up on the screen now. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. Again, if you have mental health, maybe it's because your spirit is not in the right place. This is my rule in all churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God, each one should remain in the condition in which it was called. Were you a bondservant when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedom of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free, this run right here, likewise, he who was free when called is a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men or sin. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. And if you're having mental health issues, check your spiritual health. See where you're at. Because I guarantee you your mental issues will dissipate when your spirit becomes healthy. Trust me, I had some mental health issues. Mary says, Jeremy, maybe you received one gift from Amazon, but you will receive another package I mailed myself. Happy birthday week. Mary, I did get that gift through Amazon. God bless you. I'll be showing that tomorrow. Thank you so much. Angel Girl says, people speak curses over themselves without even realizing it. Oh my gosh, do they ever. It's like throwing out an anchor of a boat. So again, why do we run back to the slavery? Why do we run back to the husband who beats us and abuses us? Why do we run back to what we know doesn't work? Why do we run back to depression and anxiety and fear? Why do we run back to slavery? Why do we do this? We do this because the desires of the flesh, number one, the fear of the unknown, number two, and the fact that we do not have our spirit healthy. And we're focusing more on our mind than we are our spirit. When we connect all of these pieces together, folks, I promise you, you will be on a journey that you never thought you would be on. You will be doing things you never thought you were capable of doing. You will be helping save people you never thought you'd be helping save. You will be literally accomplishing what God's will is for you. And once you do that, oh my Lanta, there's nothing stopping you. Nothing stopping you. It's Monday, so that means it's Comfort Monday. So let's go to Ray Comfort now to hear our Comfort Monday message.
Here's some Bible trivia. What animal is mentioned 14 times in the Bible? I'll tell you at the end of this video.
I have never read the Bible. I've only known like topical things from my parents, because they used to take me to church every Sunday. They're Catholics.
Do you believe in God?
I want to say no, because I believe in evolution and everything.
Are you denying God's existence because you're doing something that he would frown upon morally?
No.
Are you a good person?
Yes.
I'm going to go to the Ten Commandments to see if you are a good person. How many lies have you told in your life?
Millions, probably.
So what do you call someone who tells lies?
I guess a bad person in the sense of the Bible.
Liar.
Oh. A liar, yeah.
So what are you?
I guess I'm a liar.
I've been to confession, so I believe a lot of them have been forgiven, and then a lot, I think, more to learn.
Have you ever stolen something in your whole life, even if it's small?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Okay, so you're a lying thief. Do you still think you're a good person?
I ask for forgiveness, I think, in the universe, and I think and through that.
Ask forgiveness of the universe?
Well, I think God represents the universe. Okay. I think he's all around us and everywhere in this world. So okay. I think God is...
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
In anger, yeah. I have.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that happens to be the wrong message today. I do have another one here pulled up with Ray Comfort and Living Waters. Let's go to that one now. This one's a little longer. I apologize. I had both of them pulled up. I played that one on Friday. Let's play this one now.
And there was this in the women's boxing event. The International Boxing Federation disqualified these two athletes before the Olympics and notified the International Olympic Committee that these were males, and they ignored it. There was also the pushing of the LGBTQ agenda in the opening ceremony when it had nothing to do with sport.
Who on earth wanted to see that? Is that what the spirit of Olympics is all about? Hypersexualization? I don't think so. I don't
talking
think that's
about
what most
back
countries
to slavery,
participating in the Olympics
running
think.
Back to
I don't
sin.
Even think that's what most people in France think. Poor French people. Their country looks like a basket case on the international stage.
This did offend me. It also offended a lot of people who just want to watch the Olympics because it yeah. unites yes. people correct. Around the world on a common interest of the enjoyment of sport. There is no way I would let any child in my family go anywhere near the Olympics after what I just saw.
Amen.
They had their children watching the opening ceremonies and didn't know that's what they were going to see. Just because you paint somebody in blue don't mean they ain't naked.
A major U.S. tech company said we were shocked by the mockery of the Last Supper during the opening ceremonies of the Paris Olympics. CSpire will be pulling our advertising from the Olympics.
If people have taken any offense, we are, of course, really, really sorry.
No, you're not.
So why did they do that? When the oath of the International Olympic Committee says, I will always act independently of commercial and political interests. It wasn't just the mocking of the Last Supper that was offensive. It was the fact that the International Olympic Committee abandoned their oath and for some reason injected the LGBTQ ideology right in the middle of the Olympics. Would they allow the promotion of a particular political ideology or even a picture of Jesus? The answer is no. The Brazilian surfer who tried to make a statement with a picture of Jesus on his surfboard was quickly told to remove it or be banned. But some got past their very strict code, such as the courageous skateboarder who did John 14, verse 6 in sign language.
Awesome. Awesome.
And then there was the 3-time world champion
yeah,
surfer Gabriel Medina giving glory to God by pointing his finger at the heavens after his iconic ride, and then putting the words, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, with that now famous photo on his Instagram account. It seems he got away with that. Others weren't so fortunate, such as this group of young people who were arrested for the crime of driving this bus through the streets of Paris.
Yep.
So, as you can see, we've just been taken into a police van. Right now, we've taken the whole citizen low-key on the ground. It's going to be taken to the police office.
Despite the duplicity, there was this.
He loves Christ.
Well, Cindy, as always, you follow your coaches.
Seeing the confidence and the trust and the faith that she had in God.
I think my faith is the biggest factor. Just trusting the Lord and trusting the plan he has for me.
That
doesn't always guarantee things are going to go amazing, but I just give all the honor and glory to him every time I step on the track, and I'm amazed with what he's doing in my life.
Daniel Roberts got this silver right there by 0.03 of a second.
I'm Daniel Roberts, the 110 hurdler for Team USA, and today we'll be reading from Jeremiah 17:7.
Let's go.
That God's name will be glorified at the end of the day.
I just want to thank God for all these opportunities.
But it's going to be St. Lucia's Julian Alfred wins the first ever Olympic medal for her nation.
I'm thinking of God.
Hard work. Faith, trust God, before coming out of here, I saw God, whatever it is, I'm going to tell the world about you.
Yeah, I mean, is it true you sing in the gospel choir?
Yes.
What song was going through your head tonight?
After falling, I went back to my seat and I sang a song. It means I almost let go. It goes like this. I almost let go. I was quite at the edge of a breakthrough, but couldn't see it.
Wow.
The devil really had me, but Jesus came and grabbed me. He held me close, so I wouldn't let go.
Goosebumps.
God's mercy kept me, so I wouldn't let go. So I'm here today because God kept me. I'm alive today only because of his grace. Oh, he kept me. God kept me. God's mercies kept me, so I wouldn't let go. That was the song that I was just singing up and down.
Wow.
Again, the pushing of the LGBTQ agenda at the opening ceremony offended so many. And why is it that among the more than 100-member International Olympic Committee, there wasn't even one voice that registered an objection? The answer's obvious.
When David Mullins and Charlie Craig of Denver wanted a cake to celebrate their wedding, they went to Masterpiece Cake.
All right. What do you need then?
But the owner, Jack Phillips, told them no because gay weddings are against his religious beliefs. So they sued, saying there's no religious exception to a Colorado law against discrimination.
I don't produce cakes for Halloween. I don't do cakes for that will promote sexual things or anti-American things. Oh. There were days where my wife was afraid to come to the shop. We've had death threats, harassing phone calls. I've been forced by the government to give up 40% of my business, half of my employees. It's been emotional on our side as well.
What would then happen if a member of the IOC objected to the LGBTQ agenda? It would be, of course, leaked to the liberal media, and it would be painted as hate speech by the IOC. Remember, they have very strict rules about political messages and any commercialism.
What is going on in this context in the social media with all this hate speech?
Anyone who objected would be tossed from the committee, cancelled, blacklisted, blocked, gaslighted, and their business boycotted.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to show that today because I wanted to show you that while God is being mocked all over the world and while people are trying to rip your union between you and Christ apart, people are speaking out on a stage regardless of consequence. When that girl sang, that to me was more beautiful than almost anything I've ever seen. And she said, I prayed one way or another, Lord, I am going to speak about you today, no matter what. And she did. Boy, did she. God gave her the opportunity to do so, didn't he? Now, here's my message for you as we end this show today. One, stop running back to slavery. I know it's hard. And when I talk about, you know, falling off the narrow path once in a while, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about running back to it to live that lifestyle. Don't do it. God has so much better for you in store. And number two, if you still don't believe that God exists after everything we see and do and hear every day, if you still believe that, walk around professing your faith in God for a week to the people that you see and talk to every day. And I think it'll change your mind. Because why would somebody hate something that doesn't exist so badly? Thank you guys so very much. Don't turn to a pillar of salt. Do not look back. Keep looking forward. And stop running back to slavery. I love you guys. Mike Crispy Unafraid starts next, followed by 2 hours of Live from America. I hope this morning's message helped you. God bless you. Remember, you were bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Have a great morning. See you later.